Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, friends and soon-to-be friends. This is Motivation Champs Radio, where we interview inspiring guests and talk about today's issues. I am your host, Dominic Damaschke, and we are going to have a great guest on today, Andy Anderson. Way to get a look at this guy. Way to hear him. He is a motivational guru. He walks the walk and talks the talk. Anthony was born with cerebral palsy and diagnosed at 18 months old. He's currently 2-2 in amateur MMA, winning his last fight via armbar. We will have to figure out what that is. In addition to becoming a competitive MMA athlete, Anthony also wrestled for 10 years, 2 years at the collegiate level, and he is also part of Team Renzo Gracie down in Pittsburgh. That's like the high at a high of MMA, so we are going to talk to Anthony in a second.
Opportunity seize everything you ever wanted. One moment that you captured, just let it slip. Yo, his palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out. Time's up. Over. Plow. Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes gravity.
All right. I wanted to get you guys pumped up. We are going to interview Andy Anderson. He is the inspirational guru. He talks the talk, walks the walk. I'm excited to have him on. I'm a fan of MMA. This guy, he's the coolest. So let's get him on here. Andy, what is going on today? How you doing?
Hey, Dom. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing really good, man. So I watch you online. I see your videos. I mean, I've got to find out about cerebral palsy, but it's hard to believe because you look tough as nails. You know, I see muscles bulging all over the place. Looks like you're handsome, probably giving all these chicks. I mean, I don't even know what cerebral palsy is, and I can't believe that you, this guy that's so ripped and all this, would have a disease, we'll call it. I mean, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Cerebral palsy, it's a neuromuscular, I don't even want to say disorder. It's just like a... It is a disease, but it's not degenerative. It's just something you're born with, really. It is caused by brain damage, either during development or during the birth process. Very often it'll be like with if a child isn't able to get oxygen to their brain, like their umbilical cord is restricting like the airflow or something like that, or blood flow. I think that was kind of how it was caused with me, get oxygen to the brain, like right when I was being born, and it caused mild cerebral palsy on the right side of my body. It affects kind of like the the coordination and the coordination strength and dexterity on the right side of my body, and does affect the muscular development a little bit, mostly just because the way it was explained to me, like growing up from doctors and things like that, was that the nerves, the connection between the nerves in my extremities and my brain isn't fully there. So my body thinks that it's just it's getting like mixed signals, and sometimes it's thinking that the body parts aren't there anymore. So the muscular atrophy can happen pretty easily on the right side of the body.
Can you out train it, or can you out train it, or I mean, what happens? So like I see you and you're ripped, you're a fighter. So are you telling me that you like overcame it in a way, or does it get worse, or what happens? Or you just lift every day and it doesn't affect you?
Yeah. I would say that I think I did out train it, and so to speak, I guess. It did affect me like for a long time, and it still does affect me. Like you can't really tell from like day to day activities. Like I have been able to negate the effects for the most part. Like if you just saw me walk down the street, you wouldn't really be able to tell. It does affect like the coordination and the dexterity a little bit on the right side still, but I've been working for like a couple decades now to try and kind of out train it. My parents started me with physical therapy when I was six too, so that helped tremendously and things like that. And then for whatever reason, when I was younger, I decided I wanted to wrestle, because I'm not sure why I chose wrestling over any other sport. I played baseball when I was younger too, but
take me back. Take me back to that. So you're in like grade school, and it can't be it can't be easy, because like you said, you out trained it. So I mean, at first, are people like messing with you, or I mean, because I know you talk about bullying in some of your videos, and you said you wanted to start fighting because you wanted to be tough at school. So take me back to like junior high or grade school, where you're walking around and people are, you know, what goes on back then?
Yeah, when I was in sixth grade, we had the basketball unit in gym class, and I was terrible at it. And for whatever reason, for our middle school basketball team, we had like an A team and a B team, and there were like tryouts for both. And I was just thinking to myself, I was like, why would I want to try out for basketball? And I'm terrible at it. I wouldn't want to do it. And our gym teacher mentioned that, like, hey, well, there's like the middle school wrestling team. They need wrestlers. Like they're like nobody came to practice first day at all. Like there was nobody there. So and that was kind of, and I didn't really even know what wrestling was at that point. My dad woke me up a couple months earlier to watch the gold medal Greco match at the 2000 Sydney Olympics. It was like happening at 1 a.m. Our time, between Ruan Gardner and Alexander Caroline. And I learned later that Caroline is was at the time the greatest wrestler on earth. Like he went undefeated for 13 years, and I don't know why, because my dad never wrestled growing up or anything like that, but he really wanted me to watch that wrestling match. And it was, Ruan Gardner won in overtime, just kind of like the ultimate underdog, beat the greatest wrestler on earth for the gold medal in the Olympics. And I thought that was really cool, but I really didn't. That was the only wrestling match I saw, and I didn't really understand what wrestling was or anything like that. But I knew that they were tough, and I mean, I was bullied and picked on a little bit when I was growing up, mostly just because I think I was small and I wasn't well coordinated, and I didn't really have a lot of self confidence because of my CP, and because I wasn't naturally the best athlete, and that's something that was really that I really keyed in on growing up as like something to be something that was important to me. And I think just because of that, I was just an easy target. And I mean, and I don't think it was like I have talked to some people that I went to like middle school and high school with, and I don't really, looking back on, I don't think I was entirely like from a malicious place that they were coming from. They were just being kids with their own insecurities and trying to like cover up their own insecurities by
absolutely
projecting them onto somebody else. Yeah.
So when you start kicking butt, you know, you start wrestling, you say, at first I saw that you didn't win a match the first year. So when you start kicking butt and then you get tougher, you get leaner, do all these kids that were not so nice to you back then, I mean, the girls, the kids, I mean, they all of a sudden like, Andy's pretty cool. Let's hang out with them. You know what I mean? Did like a complete turn in your life?
Yes and no, because and this is actually something I'm almost still like working through, is that in response to the bullying, I would just dive in deeper into wrestling. So I didn't want to hang out with people. I didn't want to like do anything outside of competing. Like, and I really didn't I didn't go to parties. I didn't do anything like outside of competing. And I did see like, and maybe, and looking back on it, maybe I think I was a little bit incorrect in this view, but like, I felt like I saw that's why people were trying to be nicer to me, is that, I'm becoming a better wrestler. And by no means do I ever even consider myself a great wrestler in high school. Like, my definition of great wrestler is go win a state title or something like that. Like, I mean, I remember growing up, I had this, there was this this local TV station that wanted to do an interview with me, and I was getting annoyed with them because they were telling me how they were asking me like, do I feel like an inspiration? I was like, no, I have a losing record this season. How am I an inspiration to anyone?
Right.
Like, and looking back on it, I was in the moment, and I'm very competitive, and I want to win all the time. So seeing that. And so it was hard for me to see myself as that. And it has been something I've been trying to embrace as I've gotten older. Because, I mean, I graduated high school 10 years ago, or 11 years ago now. So I'm almost 30, married now, have managed the academy I train at. So
let me get into some of that. So who inspires you?
You know what, to be honest, I think the most inspirational people that I know are the people that do our jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai kickboxing programs, that they are 9-to-5ers. They're trying to get in great shape, and we have some amazing transformation stories too at our academy, and just seeing the passion that they have and the drive that they have, and they're not trying to become world champions. They're just trying to get in good shape and enjoy their lives and do that through Brazilian jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai kickboxing. I honestly, that's my inspiration, is the people that want to come train with us and do it 3, 4, or 5 days a week.
Okay, good answer. Hey, so let's give some props to where you train. I mean, you want to give them a little plug, and where are they? Who are they? How can people sign up?
Yeah, absolutely. And that probably, like, as far as like inspirations and role models, these my coaches, Warren Stout, the head jiu-jitsu instructor at Stout Training Pittsburgh. We have one location, soon to be two locations, one in the Strip District in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on 17th and Smallman Street, And then we're opening up another location in Cranberry Township, North Pittsburgh. So, yeah, Warren, then another one of my coaches and teammates, Mike Wilkins, really good brown belt, really good professional MMA fighter, 7-3. So you'll probably be seeing him in the UFC in the next couple of years, I'm anticipating. And then our Muay Thai coaches, David Reese, Will Morrill, our strength coaches, Emily Kulikowski, Jarrett Lewis, and then all of our other coaches, they're pretty awesome. You can just go to our website at stouttrainpit.com and you can sign up, try out a couple classes. We'd love to have anybody in Pittsburgh area down to try a class out with us.
Okay, so stouttraining.com. So I'm a weenie by nature. I'm skinny. If I come, you guys could. I'm scared to get punched in the face. You know, I know you don't punch in the face at jiu-jitsu, but I mean, how do you turn it? How do you get a guy that's, you know, somebody comes to you on that first day and they're scared? How do you turn somebody like that around?
All of our programs, they have our fundamental intro level classes. Even in Muay Thai kickboxing, you're not going to get punched in the face. at least at the beginning, and intermediate levels, you wouldn't get punched in the face itself. But like in Muay Thai, you'd be focusing on pad, learning how the mechanics of how to throw a punch, how to throw a kick. You'd do a lot of pad work, some bag work, and a lot of high cardio, high intensity, really get you in good shape. And as far as Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu goes, you'll learn some basic body movements for as far as the warm-up goes. And we do the same warm-up every we have a couple warm-ups, the two warm-ups that we do in the fundamentals program. So you'll see those pretty frequently if you come two, three times a week. And that's what we recommend most beginners, just two, three days a week. That'll be enough to get you in really great shape really fast and help you learn really quickly. We have a 22-week curriculum for both our fundamentals and intermediate Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu classes. So you'll see the same lesson each day for that week from a Monday through Sunday week, which that's another thing that makes us really nice with us is we do have classes 7 days a week. I believe we have the largest Jiu-Jitsu class schedule in the state of Pennsylvania, actually. Like, we have classes mornings, afternoons, evenings. So just about anyone's schedule, we can help them out. And we can also do private lessons. If you're really hesitant about jumping in a group class right away, we can do one-on-one private training with an instructor to really help you get going.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool. Hey, okay, listen here. I want you to think about something for a second. I'm going to do a quick plug, and then I want you to think about this. I'm going to do my plug. I want you to take me into the ring when you're walking down the aisle. So think about that. We'll be right back. All right, Integrity Realty, they're one of our sponsors. They're one of the hardworking realtors in the business. If you're selling a house or buying a house, look up Integrity Realty. They are the best. Also, they've got one of the best splits in the business for salespeople. Call them Integrity Realty. Best splits in the business. It's Bob Hamilton, Integrity Realty. Thanks for being one of our sponsors. We appreciate those guys. Look them up. All right, Andy, take me. So you're down. I saw the cage. I saw you in the cage. What are you thinking that day when you're getting ready to walk into that ring? What's going through your mind?
So would you like me to take you through the whole day or the couple of weeks leading up to
the day?
Fight?
What's inspiring you? What are you thinking?
All right. So the day of the fight, it depends. Sometimes for amateur fights, they do day before weigh-ins. Sometimes they do same day weigh-ins. If it's day before, I've already weighed in the night before. So if the fight's in Pittsburgh, I usually drive home, get a good meal to refill myself after weigh-ins, rehydrate, get a good night's rest. And actually I'll try and stay up a little bit later. So I'm not like getting tired at like 8-9 o'clock when right around when my fight's going to be happening. I don't want to start winding down for the night right about then. So I'll stay up a little bit later, usually till like 12:30, 1 in the morning, and then sleep in a little bit, usually have a day of the fight. I always try to do like a breakfast bowl that my wife makes for me. She's really awesome. It's steel cut oats, berries, raisins, peanut butter, bananas. It just really, it'll fuel me up for the whole day. Then from there, just kind of relax around the house. Like usually what I'll also do is like just get my mind off the fight entirely, like watch a movie or something like that. Then like around the afternoon, like sometime early afternoon, I'll go grab lunch with my coaches. Usually have like I usually get like an elk burger from this local chain in Pittsburgh, Burgatory. And then from there we'll go to the
venue. Not what I was expecting to hear. Go on.
Yeah, a wild elk burger. I need wild meat before I fight, I guess. I don't know. It's something that kind of keys me in, I guess. Then we go to the venue. So we'll have the fighters meeting, coaches meeting. After we do our medicals with we'll see the doctor, and they'll just make sure we're all good to go. Like nothing. We don't have any like bones sticking out or anything crazy like that. So at about at this time that I'm starting to mentally key myself in for the fight. I'm thinking about all the preparation that went in.
How's the nerves at that point?
They're starting to build up. I get really nervous before competition. I enjoy it, but I get really, really nervous before competition. And it's kind of just something I've learned to embrace. It was actually something I really haven't learned to embrace until I started fighting MMA and competing in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Like it was something that was really, I think kind of held me back when I was wrestling in a way too. So I'm reminding myself about all the preparation that went in, talking my game plan over with my coaches. And then we'll usually have there's a couple people on the card. It's not just me. So we'll have me and a couple other fighters from our team that will be fighting the same night. So we'll be all getting ready in the back. My boxing coach, Will Morrill, he'll be wrapping my hands, reminding me that stay calm and this is the time for fun. All the hard work already happened. Now it's just time to have fun. We warm up, get a good sweat going. Then from there, when they tell us to walk through the cage, that's the point where I am the most nervous. But I just realize, all right, well, I'm going to go into this cage. There's only one way out of it. I got to beat this guy because I can't run away now. So from there, once they close the cage door, the ref tells me I'm ready. And then once that happens, it's like a switch goes off. Then the nerves kind of melt away and I'm just ready to go.
An animal. I read a book about Floyd Patterson. Well, it was about Muhammad Ali, but Floyd Patterson said he used to wear a disguise. He took a disguise to every fight in case he lost, that he would sneak out of the building in the disguise.
So
when you win, what are you thinking? I mean, when they lift your hand up and say, "Yeah, you won," what's that? What's going through your body then?
That's the craziest adrenaline rush ever. Like that, it's unreal. All the hard work that just went in and to win that fight. It's absolutely unbelievable. The feeling, like it's really hard to describe, but it's the greatest adrenaline rush you could ever imagine.
That's awesome. Hey, Andy, we got about 5 minutes left here, so I want to know. This has been on my mind the whole time. So, what would you say to a young kid like you, or my son's got type 1 diabetes, he's in athletics. What would you say to that kid who thinks, "Well, I can't do it because I got these other I got all these other things holding me back. What would you say to them?
Don't let those outside factors limit yourself. Don't let them limit your goals and your aspirations, because I really think that if you're determined enough, if you work hard enough, if you have set concrete goals that you want to accomplish, and you put in the time, and you put in the effort, you put in the preparation, you can overcome anything. I mean, and it is hard for me to say, because I know I've met parents of kids with pretty severe cerebral palsy, and like, I mean, somebody that's bound to a wheelchair, I don't know if they're going to become an MMA fighter, but at the same time, I think they can accomplish a lot in life, and a lot more than what some people would give them, or like kind of like a lot more than what people would credit them with. So I don't think that you should let what other people say about you limit what you can do. The only limiting factor is what you set for yourself. I really believe that. If you make a goal, if you make an aspiration, and you put in the time, you put in the effort, and yeah, you can accomplish anything. I mean, and especially for your son with type 1 diabetes, there have been many athletes, high level athletes, Olympic champs, world champs, in a multitude of sports, despite having type 1 diabetes. So that's not a limiting factor. That might be an obstacle, but that's not a wall.
Right, right. Andy, okay, when is your next fight? How can we get to it? What do we need to do?
Still waiting to see if we can get something booked. I had a couple injuries last year in 2016 that kind of limited my competition schedule. At 2015 was really crazy. We moved the whole academy to a bigger location, so that took up the second half of 2015 for me. But looking to hit the ground running in 2017. I will be doing a jiu-jitsu tournament next Sunday, Grappling Industries Pittsburgh at the Pittsburgh Indoor Sports Arena. That's looking to be a pretty big independent tournament coming to Pittsburgh, so it's nice. We got some more of those coming to the Western Pennsylvania area. So hoping that's the first time coming here, so I'm hoping that tournament goes well for everybody involved.
I hope you kick some butt, man.
Yeah. Just hoping to book my next fight after that. Looking to get back in the cage soon.
All right. Well, we're fans. I thought you nailed the interview. Thank you very much, Andy Anderson. We are going to support you. You are the man. We're going to look up Scout Training. You did a good job today. Thank you, sir. We'll be in touch real soon, okay?
Thank you, Dominic, and have a great weekend, all right?
All right. You are the man.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks for tuning in today, and be on the lookout for some new shows. We'll be posting them on Facebook at Motivation Champs and on Twitter at DonV1000. If you get knocked down, get back up and keep swinging, and don't let others, like Andy said, don't let others limit you. The only thing limiting you is the limitations you put on yourself. We will see you soon. Thanks again.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. just got to see me through another day.